Today, we're going to be back in Acts chapter 22. Acts chapter number 22. We won't read the whole chapter again, as we've been doing. But I just want to preface it by just saying and having an admission to everybody that I have been a scatterbrain the last couple weeks. I don't know whether it's because there's so many different things going on around and something that's happening like every single day of the week of late. But I've been having that time where, like, all right, what do I do next? How am I going to do this? But I'm so glad for the Word of God. I get up this morning. I went to bed early last night, tried to get up early this morning than normal to try to assemble everything in the order that I like to be. And I'm like, oh, I can't do this. I can't even think of what to do today. Helen rolled over and said, just stick to the Word of God. which is always the thing that we need to do. That's the reality we're in. It's the Word of God is the thing that has the power that in our lives. And one thought before I go on, and what I hear, we see this small little flock here. And what I like about our little flock here, everybody here has a love, has a desire for the Word of God, nothing else. And that's the only thing that's going to stand in this life. You know, and not only in this life, but in the life to come as well. You know, A couple thoughts I had, I actually heard a message about, it was a testimony of a preacher that had left a big congregation of like thousands of people and is now ministers to like 30 people. You know, and he is happier and more blessed in that than looking at numbers. Because it's all about the stewardship of God's Word. Not by the bank account, nor the numbers of how many people are seated and how many people are in small groups. None of that stuff counts. The Word of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 says a steward must be found faithful in God's Word. You know, guess what? We're all stewards to an extent. We have a responsibility to study the Word of God and to know the Word of God. So I'm just so thankful as I have this privilege of standing here before everybody. It's a privilege. It's a privilege no matter what. You know, and that we have a word that is so much more powerful than our decrepit selves. That's another one that Joel Osteen would never say, but the reality is what happens and you see it more often and more often is that churches, this could be a broad brushstroke, but I don't think so, are bypassing the cross for the sake of purpose. You need to be God. You need to be who God made you to be. But they forget about one thing. It's called the fall. I think it's something kind of major. God meant you to be. God created you to do great things and go on a big adventure. But the reality, the fall got in the way. And we are all sinners, and the one thing that we need is to be reconciled unto God. And that reconciliation came through the blood of Jesus Christ. So that's just a little preface today, just to let you know that, you know, I might not have been in the specific text I'm in, but there's a lot going on at the same time. So back to Acts chapter number 22. Let's see where we'll start reading. Let's start with verse, I think we went through verse number 6. We went through verse number 6 last week, but let's just read down through 6 through 16 today. 6 through 16. Maybe we'll get that far, maybe we won't. But I do realize the smell of food will be coming up through the hallway there, and we'll be wanting to get out of here a little quicker than normal. So Acts chapter 22, verse number 6, and it came. Go to verse 5. Sorry. As also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem, for to be punished. And it came to pass, as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light, round about me. And I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light, and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see, for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him. And he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will and see that just one and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men and of what thou hast seen and heard. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And we just pray that you would add your blessing to your word this morning, Lord. And we do pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week, you know, of course, as the habit I often have, is I intended to go through this chapter and look at this overview of this same testimony that Paul had, both in Acts chapter 9, here in chapter 22, and chapter 26. But we got kind of hung up in one spot. We looked at the light, the same glorious light that shone to Moses, the same light that was with Jesus, and the same light here that Paul has in this revelation of Jesus Christ to him. He doesn't see a figure, but he sees this glorious light, to which I want to sing, Send the light, the blessed gospel light. You know, he saw that. He saw that as being the Lord himself. And let's go there to verse number 6. Again, there shone from heaven a great light round about me, and I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? So Paul heard this voice. Notice one thing I want to clear up, though. None of the texts say that he fell off of his high horse. We don't know what Paul was doing. We know that he was there and he fell to the ground. If he fell off of his horse, he'd probably have more broken limbs and stuff and had more injury from that than all those stonings. So we don't know if it was a horse that he had. He was more than likely walking. Walking, and he had this experience on the road to Damascus. And I answered, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? He recognized the position of this voice, and I can smell the food coming up already. Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. Remember Paul writing his own testimony in chapter 8. You know, he says the same thing. He persecuted the way. He was zealous for the traditions of his father and received letters from the high priest to go and take these people out. He destroyed, he wasted that church, that way at the time. What does wasted mean? We've gone through this before. Wasted means that he wanted to utterly destroy what was going on. That was Paul's purpose. That's a military term where we go in and just take care of everybody in the surrounding area. He wanted to make sure that the name of Jesus Christ would not continue. Paul was a good picture of an antichrist at the time. He was zealous of the law. He was a Jew of Jews. But yet, God showed him something different. Showed him his will here on the road. Now let's look at verse number 9. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, But they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. I want to look at that verse for a couple minutes, because this verse causes a lot of confusion in the church today. Why does it do that? I'm glad you asked. It does that because in chapter number 9, from Paul's perspective, there is an alleged discrepancy between the verses. Let's go back to chapter number 9. Chapter number 9, verse number 7. You know, there are people out there that their mission is to condemn the Word of God, to condemn the work of God. So they can say this. They can say, na, 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 God's not real. He lied. His contradictions in the Scripture. And mind you, where there are apparent contradictions in the Scripture, there aren't contradictions in reality. Most contradictions can be brought into place to show that they're not that by the context, by the right division of the Scripture, knowing who was being spoken to, and having a basic knowledge of the language. So verse number 7, and the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. All right, so what gives here? They heard a voice. Chapter 22 says they didn't hear a voice. We have a problem here, don't we? There isn't a problem here where we understand what voice is. The word voice, you can all understand this because we all have one of these in our pockets. We have a phone. The word in which you're used to hear. You're used to communicate together. But the word phone, it's phonos in the Greek. And it can be used for a language that's heard, for a message. It can also be heard or translated as a sound. So there was a sound, but they didn't hear what that sound was. So they heard a voice. I actually have a little audio to show you. Through a lot of scholarship, we can understand what this voice might have been. I like these sounds. This is a quick one here. Make sure the volume's up here. Here we go. Who heard a voice? Man, I heard a voice. It was a loud voice. Who knows what was said? Nobody. Except, I had to do a little research into Charlie Brown. They could hear what Mrs. Onessa, I've got her name, on, yeah, whatever. Whatever she said, they understood. So all around heard something. We see the parallels through, especially the book of Revelation, the beginning of the book of Revelation. They heard a sound as the noise of thunder, a booming voice. And only certain people could hear the actual voice of God, but all those in attendance who were with Paul heard a sound. It might not have been wah, 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 but they knew that something was going on. So Paul heard the very words of Jesus Christ, who came and showed him the revelation, what we call Pauline dispensationalism, showed him the things that were to come, showed him the things. I'm so dry, I'm whistling. Showed him those things that he wanted him to see. And the strange thing, again, this is something that people will look at and say, we'll discredit the Bible. As I mentioned, a Jewish scholar I saw last week discrediting the fact that Paul was with Gamaliel. He used the excuse that Gamaliel that was never in Damascus. We saw that last week. Gamaliel met Paul where? In Jerusalem, where Paul was brought up and trained in the school of Gamaliel. So looking at the Word of God in context and having some understanding what these simple words mean does help us out. So we have everything that we need in the Scriptures today. Many Christians, or I should say Christian leaders, I say Christian Führers, claim that they have an in with God. I don't have to share any of those. I've shared those things on Wednesday nights on occasion. I can't get it out of my head of Jesus showing up to Kenneth Copeland's bedroom with a plate of cookies. People that claim to hear the voice of God literally and directly, you know what you got to do? You got to discredit that. It doesn't happen. It's never happened to everybody. Even in time past, who heard the voice of God? It was a few select people, the prophets. And the fathers actually heard through the prophets. And what did they do? They rejected the prophets. One thing you'll hear so often is that you can hear the voice of God. You just need to know how to tune in, just like a radio. You're on the wrong frequency. They need to learn to tune in. And if they don't hear the voice of God after subscribing to their podcast and buying their books, the problem is not with the teacher that's teaching this. It's with the person that can't tune in to God. Why? Because they must have some sin or some kind of problem in the way. The reality is we have the Word of God. We have the voice of God, and I've said this so often, that if you want to hear it audibly, read it to yourself. Record it for yourself. I heard the voice of God today when I read the Scriptures. I think of one other spot here. There's several, but let's go to Daniel chapter 10. One more place where it's similar to what happened to Paul. Daniel chapter 10, this is sort of the background, the backdrop for the beginning of the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter number 1. But Daniel chapter 10, these big pages, they kind of like go bang like that. They don't flip like other. Daniel chapter number 10. And you know I'm going to say go to verse number 1. But not the whole chapter here. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. That time appointed hasn't come yet. That's going to be after the rapture of the church during the seventh week of his prophecy. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning three full weeks. I'm glad he's warning about the state of his people in captivity. I ate no pleasant bread. Neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till three whole weeks were fulfilled. Right, let me get this. There's another pet peeve in the church movement today. They'll have 21-day fast now, based on Daniel's fasting here. That's not a model for us. We're not called to fast. We can fast for different reasons. It's voluntary. But we're not called, as the nation of Israel was called together to fast, call a solemn assembly all through the prophets. Till three whole weeks were fulfilled, and in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. Think of that. I thought of that while we were singing this morning. It sounded like a lot more people singing than were actually here. It's wonderful. But this voice, this lone voice, is a voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. So Paul, with Paul, they didn't hear him. They saw the light and everything, but didn't hear. But here, Daniel saw the vision, but there was a great, great quaking that went on. The people who were with Daniel knew that something special was happening. Therefore, I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Another good parallel today, it seems like everybody that has visions of God today are very happy about it. I'm so happy that the Lord appeared to me, and angels appeared to me in my kitchen, and all this, it's like so nonchalantly. But what happened? You know, what happened? He lost his strength with this vision of the Lord. Let's go. Keep your finger here for a second and turn over to Habakkuk. Habakkuk for a second. I have Habakkuk 3:16. I have that in my Bible with all my notes, and I have, this is God's proper view of self-esteem. Go to Habakkuk chapter 3. This is all a testimony of the Lord's deliverance of them, of Israel. Let's go to chapter 1, why not? Not chapter 1, verse 1 of Habakkuk chapter 3. A prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, upon Shigunath. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. Unfortunately, those aren't the kind of things people are hearing when they hear from the Lord today. God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. And his brightness was as the light. He had horns coming out of his hand, and there was the hiding of his power. Before him went the pestilence, and burning coals went forth at his feet. He stood and measured the earth. Think of that for a second. He beheld and drove asunder the nations, and the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills did bow. His ways are everlasting. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction, and the curtains of the land of Midian did tremble. Was the Lord displeased against the rivers? Was thine anger against the rivers? Was thy wrath against the sea, that thou didst ride upon thine horses and thy chariots of salvation? The bow was made quite naked, according to the oaths of the tribes, even thy word. Selah, thou didst cleave the earth with rivers. The mountains saw thee, and they trembled. The overflowing of the water passed by. The deep uttered his voice and lifted up his hands on high. The sun and moon stood still in their habitation. At the light of thine arrows they went, and at the shining of thy glittering spear. Thou didst march through the land in indignation. Thou didst thresh the heathen in anger. Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people, even for salvation with thine anointed. Thou woundest the head out of the house of the wicked by discovering the foundation unto the neck. Thou didst strike through with his staves the head of the of his villages. They came out as a whirlwind to scatter me. Their rejoicing was to devour the poor secretly. Thou didst walk through the sea with thine horses, through the heap of great waters. Now look at verse 16. This is what I wanted to get to, the awesomeness of this prayer. When I heard, my belly trembled. My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Verse 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hinds feet, and He will make me to walk upon mine high places, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. So we see the picture of what happens when somebody sees the work of God. I always use that as an example. Rottenness, quivering, trembling when you actually confront the living God. Let's go back to Daniel chapter 10. I hope you kept your finger there. Go back a few verses. I think I lost my notes. Yeah. So verse number 7. And Daniel alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. They had the same view as Habakkuk. They had the same view as the prophetic scriptures of what would happen to those that would come face to face, have a confrontation with God. Therefore, I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of His words, and when I heard the voice of His words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. Now, before we go to verse 10, I wasn't going to go there. I came out of a Pentecostal / charismatic background that believed in something called slain in the spirit. You see, Daniel wasn't slain in the spirit here. He was moved by God. He was moved by God to be in the state. He fell in a deep sleep of my face, and my face toward the ground. Verse number 10 is where I would turn to go to my charismatic brothers and sisters and say, look, here's what happens when you're touched by God in verse number 10. And behold, a hand touched me. Oh, He touched me. This happened to Daniel. He touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. So God didn't slay Daniel. God rose Daniel up in the power of His strength. And He said, I was going to end here, right? And He said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. Think of that. A man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when He had spoken the word unto me, I stood trembling. So God is like, get up. You're my beloved one. You're going to be giving my message, my prophecy. Verse number 12, then said He unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. And when He had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And I beheld one like the similitude of the sons of men touch my lips, and I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remaineth no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and He strengthened me. And said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto you, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am come forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things, but Michael, your prince. What a picture that is of the proper view toward God. How God revealed himself to him and strengthened him. The one thing I take that I can personalize for myself is the Word of God is our strength today. The Word of God, which came directly to Daniel, was what strengthened him and allowed him and got him into confronting those things of, at that age, and prophesy even against his own people that were fallen away and against those leaders that would come against the nation. Let's go back to the book of Acts. Let's not go to the book of Acts. Let's go to Psalm 56. Psalm 56. Verse number 1, this says, Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. My enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me. O Thou Most High, what time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. In God I will praise His Word, in God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down thy people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word, in the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust, I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God, I will render praises unto thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living. I pointed that entire, that long chapter, just to look at verse number 5. Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. No matter what, David's enemies were looking for opportunity to slander him, to defame him, no matter what. Same thing they did with Paul. They twisted his words. They used his own words against himself. They took him out of context. This is what happens today when people don't trust in the Word of God, when they don't take the Word of God literally. His words were being wrested. Did you ever hear somebody really butcher a sentence? Same kind of thing. I do it all the time. I mangle verses. I butcher them. But people were purposely doing that, wresting or torturing or butchering the words of David against him. And that's what the false prophets will do with a trust in those dreams and visions that they have. Let's go over to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. I always like the fact that this is written to the Hebrews. Verses number 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in time past unto the fathers. So unto the fathers, unto the patriarch, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all the fathers of Israel, they speak directly to them. Somebody did. On occasion, but not that often, they spake by the prophets. Throughout the whole history of Israel, they had Moses and the prophets. They were all rejected by the nation of Israel. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. That's a pretty good record that Jesus had there, by the way, isn't it? He made the worlds. I think you can trust him. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. The final word was Jesus. His final push for the nation, for the world, was the Lord Jesus Christ. We fortunately today, we don't have to try to figure out where Jesus is speaking or who he's speaking to, but the Lord is speaking to all. Now, he's not commanding everybody obey everything in the Scripture. I heard it well said, if every bit of Scripture were for us, we better get out there and find some gopher work out there and start looking to build an ark. That's not for us. So that's the importance of understanding the Word of God, understanding these dreams and visions are all to just mock the Word of God. And that's why people will always try to question it. These things that seem like they contradict one another. A couple more places while we're still here. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. It's early. Verse number 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always, I had that underlined, always causes us to triumph in Christ. Where do you triumph? In Christ. Do you triumph in yourself? No. We triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. We should have a smell. That's what the beginning. We should have a smell. We should smell like Jesus. I don't want to smell like He smelled like at His birth, but our savor should be of Jesus. And when we grow in grace, that's what we become. We become graceful, or should become more graceful and growing in Him. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. Who else matters? Right? Are we pleasing God or are we pleasing man? But we're unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved. You know, a believer confronting another believer, there's that sweet savor right there. Not confronting, but having that knowledge of one another. It's always something there when you meet a believer. It's like, think of having something in common that's of the utmost importance. He's one of us. as that savor. And we're that same, right, a sweet savor of Christ to them that are saved and in them that perish. We're the same. Our savor is the same to all men. Our savor is the savor of the Savior is to the believer. But it's the same attitude, the same thing that we have toward all men. To those who are perishing, we have that same savor. To the one, we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other, the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? You know, people don't want to hear that they're sinners. They don't want to hear that the only remedy for their sin is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So it's a savor of death unto them. But to those who are saved, when we hear the gospel, we rejoice. We rejoice because we know that we're with the Lord. We know that we can then, and even now, sing, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine." But to those who are in the world, our attitude is the same. Even though the message of the cross is a message of death to the world, we still ought to have that same message. And our part, if we have any part to do with it, is our growing in grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ and being of like mind as Jesus. We do have, after all, the mind of Christ. I can show it to you. Here it is. It's not in a laboratory someplace. It doesn't have abnormal written on the label. It's the mind of Christ, is the very words of Christ. We can learn of Him. We can learn of how He treated people. We can learn of how everybody treated one another through the Scriptures. And look, for we are not as many which corrupt the Word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, we speak we in Christ. In other words, corrupt. We don't change the Word of God. We don't try to sell it as a trinket that's gonna bring satisfaction to people. And that's what's happening, and so often is that. The Word of God is like a fortune cookie. Sometimes fortune cookies are better than the things that some people come up with. A fortune cookie, just, I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me. There's a good fortune cookie part. It's true. But the context of it was Paul in prison. Paul enduring the suffering that he went through, and he could see that. He could see the focus on being with the Lord and being with Him. Not about winning the next ball game or anything like that. Paul had this focus. And that's our focus, the same as Paul. We look at who Jesus was and what He did and grow in that reality. One more spot. 2 Peter chapter number 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Again, going to the end of the chapter here. Let's go to I can't just go to verse 16 like I wanted. Yeah, one does look good. Remember, Peter is addressing the 12 tribes. They're in trials. They're in trials and going through this. He says, this second, verse number one. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Remember what Christ did. That's the focus of it. We can go to the end now. That you may be mindful of the words which are spoken before by the holy prophets. Who was spoken? The holy prophets. Never was this being able to see the Lord granted to all people. The holy prophets. And of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing at first that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, rejoicing in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. See, we've come full circle through those people who question the authority of the Bible being a case right through history. If the authority of the Bible weren't in question, even when there was just the Old Testament, Jesus Christ would not have been put to death. He would have not gone to the cross. We would not see the resurrection of Christ. They would have recognized that, and they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. But verse 16 is where I wanted to get. I'm looking at resting. They rested David's words. They rest Jesus' words. Here they're resting. Peter's talking about them resting Paul's words. Interesting. As in all his epistles, speaking in them of those things in which are some things hard to be understood. Who were they hard to be understood by? It was the Jews, the Judaizers, that always wanted to bring people under the law. They just couldn't get past the fact that now there's a new chief in town, and that chief is called the grace of God. That's where we're at today. We have a privilege to know Jesus, to know him no more after the flesh, but we know him in the Spirit. We know him as a crucified and risen Lord. They were still looking for the obedience toward the law, and they rejected this concept of grace, the salvation by grace through faith. So these things are hard to be understood. I always question that. What's so hard to be understood about Paul's writings? What's so hard to be understood about things like salvation? We can look backwards, but they were looking at the time they were in. Think, as we've been going through the book of Acts, what happened to the Apostle Paul? Well, what happened to Peter early on? He gets persecuted, set in jail, he's delivered. In Acts chapter 15, he makes his last appearance, and Paul is on the scene. And what's happening with him? He's being persecuted. The same way as he was persecuting the way, he's being persecuted and being condemned by those people that still desire to be under the law. They were blinded by, I almost started singing a song, blinded by the light. They truly were blinded by the light of Christ. And they were trying to keep the nation under the law, which things are hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, twist it, take it out of context, the rest of the Scripture unto their own destruction. They don't understand what the Scriptures say and took everything on for themselves. That's our prime error that we have today. We just throw the Scripture. Some people have heard me say this all the time. Throw it into a giant mixing bowl and make it one word salad and jumble it all together. And people are confused by it. And that's what's happened to these people who are unlearned. They wrest the Scriptures. They apply. If you try to apply everything for yourself, you're going to be confused. You're going to be lost. You're not going to know what the truth of God is. So that's our call today. Our call today is to trust the Word of God as our only revelation we have today, and not worry about whether you heard a voice, whether you heard. I forgot who it was that wrote a book about hearing a voice above the chatter. Oh, it was Stephen Furtick, who was a piece of work. Did I make a rhyme? Furtick, a work it. Yeah. Who had a whole book about how to hear the voice of God above the chatter. You know, you need to tune out the chatter in the world, which conceptually is a good thing to do. There's nothing wrong about sitting at a table quietly and reading and studying the Word of God, but you're not listening or waiting to see God physically. We see Him through the Word of God alone. That came from these guys, people questioning the reality of the Bible. And by trying to knock down Scripture, saying it's not reputable because there's an apparent difference between whether those that were with Paul heard a voice or didn't hear a voice. Wah, 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 wah. They heard something. But Paul, as others before him, heard the voice of God. The prophets and the apostles actually heard. Think of being on the earth with Jesus. They actually heard Jesus physically. But others heard him. Peter, Paul, James, Moses communed with God and actually heard the voice of God. And those are the only ones that have ever had. Well, there's others through the prophets. But us today, we don't hear a voice. Unless, of course, like I already said, unless we record ourselves reading the Bible, that's the only way. But we have the complete revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible. We have everything we know. Even Peter said, we have everything you need for life and godliness is found in the Word of God. And that's where we'll continue to stand. No matter what, everybody else can reject the Word of God. Everybody else can start Chrislam churches and all kinds of different things. But we'll stick with the Word of God. Amen? It's the only thing that will give us the truth. Not only in our time, but the time to come as well. Amen?